I want you to know right now that God is totally and completely in control of this whole world. There's nothing going on that God has not allowed to go on. I don't care what people say. God had this all planned out. And I wish that everybody would get it together so all this destruction would stop. God said he's trying to get America's attention, but I don't know what's going on here because it keeps going on and on and on. And you and the rain falls and adjust to the unjust alike, right? Maybe if just us group would decide, okay, we're going to follow God with all of our hearts and we're going to trust him in every area of our life, maybe we could be the catalyst of other churches following. Or another Christian. You're out there on the street by yourself and you meet somebody and you just have the joy of God in you and you just start talking about Jesus and not talking about anything negative. You might get them started about thinking about positive things and negative things, and then they'll take it to somebody else. Next thing you know, it snowballs and we're serving God. And the devil's losing the battle all the way around. Amen. God is still God. He's still on the throne, and what he's spoken over your life, he's going to bring to pass. I'm hearing him say, are you a willing vessel? Are you willing to carry the truth wherever God asks you to carry it to? He might ask you to carry the truth to just one person sitting on a street corner somewhere. And that's all he's requiring you, just one person. Are you willing to listen to his voice and do that one thing he's asking you to do? You need to stop and think about this. Are you really willing to do what God's asking you to do? I got upset the other day, Saturday. I called Brother Chris and was just carrying on. I thought, I'm going to go. I hung up the phone and turned on my computer. Nervous Bill Yout. Talking about you have to forgive your enemies. See how good God is. He knew exactly what I needed to hear. And you're going to get it in the bulletin next week. But, you know, it's just all talking about loving your enemies. And instead of crucifying them, pray for them. So anyhow, God got my attention. And I shut up and I started praying. And everything turned out just great. And I know I'm not the only one that ever gets in that place. But I like to share what I go through so you can understand that you're only human too. And some days you'll forget that God's in control and you'll start carrying on like I did. And then you have to go through the thing you call repentance. But anyhow, God is good. And I'm just waiting. God's telling me there's somebody in here, you're a slave to sin. And you don't have to be. So whoever you are, God's dealing with you right now. And you just need to give God the glory for what he's doing in your life. You know, sin has no hold on you. God, remember I said God told me a couple of times, oh, death, where's your sting? Well, I was studying that this morning about 5 o'clock. And death is sin. Oh, sin, where is your sting? And if we get out of that sin nature, we won't have the death around about us. We'll have perfect peace. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you for all those who came out. And Father God, you know that this is your service. And anytime you feel like interrupting, you can. And you know each and every heart here. You see each and every face that's here this morning. You know exactly what's behind that face. And Father God, we just give you full permission right now to come into our lives. Change and rearrange whatever it is that needs changed and rearranged. And take us from glory to glory, Father. And Father God, this sin nature, we're giving it to you right now. And we're giving you full permission, Father. We take it to the courts and we pull Satan in there with us. And we're giving you be our judge, Father. And we're giving you full permission, Father God, to judge that sin right now. And destroy its roots in the name of Jesus. Set the captives free, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I don't know if I read about the worship leaders. And I have Jeremy Camp just came out of a terrible time of mental fog, and God's finally set him free. And you know, we've read about the other praise and worship leaders, and God showed me a while back that the praise and worship leaders are being attacked, and we need to hold them up in prayer, because they are the ones that get before, they write the songs to begin with, and they are the ones that get before you to pull you out of whatever you're into and bring you up into the glorious heights of God. So really, truly, if you don't pray for the praise and worship leaders out there, please do. Please do. And I don't know if you noticed Graves in the Garden. I like that version. Wasn't that a good version? Brandon Lake, whenever he got there, he'd get that great big old grin on his face. Do you remember how Chris Tomlin used to do that? Brandon Lake has taken Chris Tomlin's place now. But Chris Tomlin's still out there, you know, doing, but he's traveling and everything. But God said, Brandon Lake has taken Chris Tomlin's place. This is where it happens. God uses you for a certain season, for a certain reason. And then while he's using you, he's raising somebody else to take your place, because he's moving you to a higher place. It's not a degrading thing. It's really a good thing. So I just want you all to be encouraged this morning that whatever you're going through, God is in there with you. And quit your complaining, because he's not going to stop it until it's supposed to be stopped. And let's just go through it with just pure excitement. How many of you are excited about what God has promised you about your life? Just can't wait for them to happen, right? You're like horses at the gate waiting for that shot in the gate to fly open, and off you go. And God, hear God say that day's coming sooner than you expect. So we just need to get excited and be doing the things God wants us to do. This morning I'm going to teach on angels, and the reason why is because God said that people still do not believe in angelic activity, and they're going to miss their visitation from the angels if they aren't looking for them. How many of you sit and doing something, all of a sudden you see something out of the corner of your eye, and you look, and there's nothing there, but you did see something? That's an angel walking in your room. That happened to me twice yesterday, and I wish he'd stop and converse. Biddy, I was sitting there doing something, and twice I saw him out of the corner of my eye. He's always on this side. And so let's get into this. The bride is entering a new cycle of anointing. We're the bride, right? We're in a new season of awe. And in this new season of awe, we are going to have angelic visitation. God is releasing his angels all over the globe. If we are going to move in the supernatural, we must have angelic visitation. If we are going to move in the supernatural, we must have angelic visitation. How many of you, raise your hands, when you was born again, the first thing you saw was angels? You know, and the first thing, you know, and I said to God, I said, what is that? And he said, that's your angel. But he was standing on the mountain, wind blowing at him. He had the Roman garb on, and you know, he was real tall, and he had a spear in his hand. He said, I'll watch you over all the days of your life. And ever since then, I've had angelic visitation, but I have not had them come and sit on my bed and talk to me. And that's what I would desire, because that's what he did with the others, so why couldn't he do it for us, right? You know, he says he's going to give us the desires of our heart. So I believe that. How many of you believe that God can, the angels can cover your loved ones when they're out there messing up? I know that to be a fact, because God has said, he'll say to me, send the angels to cover so-and-so. They're getting ready to get in trouble. They need to be invisible. And I would send the angels, and whenever they came home, they would tell me how they escaped something very bad. But see, somebody has to be alert to hear God's voice to say that too. That's why God tells us to be instant in season and out of season. He can talk to us at any given time, and we will hear his voice and we'll react to it. The spirit of Elijah, oh no, I'm sorry, God is developing consecrated lovers. What are they? Lovers. We have to be love vessels with a standard of holiness and character of integrity for this last day's move. These are what you have to have. God is developing consecrated lovers. You have to be a lover. With a standard of holiness, you have to be walking in holiness. And character of integrity. Your character has to be good for the last day's move. And you know this is where God's been teaching us all along, is all these things. The spirit of Elijah is coming upon a remnant bride's heart in these final hours. And God has been speaking that the spirit of Elijah is alive right now. And that means, saints of God, we can walk in that anointing. And we can talk in that anointing. And we can do the very same things that Elijah did. But you're going to have to be walking in this love and holiness. And your character is going to have to be flawless. All right? Because we have been allowing God to purify our hearts with his holy fire, we will now be able to encounter the invisible angelic realm in our dreams and in our daily lives. Because we have been allowing God to purify our hearts, so if you've been doing this, all right, with his holy fire, we will now be able to encounter the invisible angelic realm in our dreams and in our daily lives. As we continue to hunger and passionately pursue the presence of Jesus, his kingdom will draw closer to us. Now, Astrid sees angels every time she goes out in the spirit here, and she always comes and tells me what she saw. And the last service she told me about it, I said, God, open up everybody's eyes when they're laying out in the spirit. Let them see the angelic host too. Let them see what you're doing. You know, like she sees the rain and she sees all kind of things. Why aren't we? Or are you seeing them and you're not sharing them? So if you're seeing these things, you should share them so that it encourages the rest of us. Amen. We need to understand that as we build altars of prayer in our hearts and brokenness and humility before God, it causes heaven's gates to open. The ministry of prayer, coupled with the spirit of unity, opens spiritual gates for angels to enter into the earthly realms. The ministry of prayer, coupled with the spirit of unity, opens spiritual gates for angels to enter into the earthly realms. Angels are comprised of the glorious breath, wind, light, and fire of God. The increased entrance of angels into the New Testament church came with a mighty rushing wind that filled the house as fire set on each person's presence. This powerful moving of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:1-4 was not to remain behind the four walls, but quickly overflowed into the streets, impacting the world. In the Old Testament, it was angels that God sent to speak to his people. It was actual angels that went. And you know, if you really read about them, when they came to visit different people, they would cook them a supper. And they would sit and talk to them. So why can't that happen to us? Come on. Why can't an angel come and, you know, and talk to you? And you say, would you like something to eat? And they sit down, they say, yeah, I'm hungry. And you cook them a meal. As they tell you what God sent them, why God sent them to you, and they tell you exactly what God's saying to you. That happened to the old prophets, you know, in this dispensation. They're out there. They were always coming and sitting in the rocking chairs or sitting on their bed, rattling the bed, you know, and everything else, and wake them up and then talk to them and say, God told me to tell you this, this, and this. And then as they went out to prophesy, to minister, you know, what God spoke them came forth. Guys, we're living in that time right now. This is what God desires to do with each one of us. So if your bed rattles, wake up. Amen. I'm serious. I'm trying to think of these guys. Who were these people that he did that to? Smith Wigglesworth was one. There was about four or five of them, though, that had constant. Lester Summerall, you know, so these were people in our time frame. And, you know, they were out there and they actually saw the angels. They actually came into their rooms and spoke to them. I remember reading about somebody that an angel came in that was so big it scared him about half to death. Where am I at? The increased entrance of angels in the New Testament church came with a mighty rushing wind. Okay. A host of angelic ministers of fire accompanied the Holy Spirit as he blew into earth, escorting a new day. Now, when God told us a year or two ago, I brought the fire, at that point, he also brought angelic host. As far as I know, only one or two people in here have seen the angelic host in here. I know that some people have seen him lined up across the back of me here. I know other people have seen him walking around in here. But why aren't we all seeing them? This is what this is all about. You need to start having God open up your spiritual eyes so you can see the angels around about you in your home, in your car, anywhere. They're there to protect you. A host of angelic ministers of fire accompanied the Holy Spirit as he blew into earth, escorting in a new day. We're in a new day. We're in a new era. He said he brought the fire. So this is where we're at. Now, if you don't see angels, it's your fault. I can put the blame on you. Amen? Because God, you know, he's told me they're here. So why are we not seeing them? What is in us that's holding us from not having spiritual eyes to see? Church history has many great supernatural ministers like A.A. Allen, Jack Coe, William Branham, Smith, but well, here I had them all written down here. They tuned their ears to hear and their hearts to perceive the angelic messengers sent to direct them into the Holy Spirit flow. What did these ministers do? Tuned their ears to hear and their hearts to perceive the angelic messengers sent to direct them into the Holy Spirit flow. They were given insights, revelation, and power to navigate the heavenly dimensions, which released a miraculous to move across the multitudes attending their crusades. Now, you guys who God said you're going to travel and you're going to minister to the groups of people, you need these angels with you to accomplish the work that God wants to accomplish. By waiting upon the Lord until they sensed the fiery presence of the angels, they released heaven's atmosphere and earth. So what does it say here they did? They waited upon the Lord until they sensed the fiery presence of the angels. Maybe we start too soon teaching our sermons. Maybe we need to be waiting upon the Lord. Maybe we need to be waiting upon the angels to start manifesting themselves. Are you listening? I'm going to be honest with you. The last couple of services, I felt like I rushed in when I should have just waited a little longer. And I really think that's one of my problems. Rushing in. Who was the guy that he was a minister and he's a black gentleman and he would put a cardboard box over his head, sit on it, and he wouldn't do anything until the Spirit of God started moving. He just sat there with a cardboard box over his head and you people just sat there and watched him. You didn't get excited and leave. You just knew that he, whenever he took the box off, the glory had fallen. If I did that, y'all say, now I know she's nuts. You know. But, you know, we don't know what God's going to be doing, do we? All right, question. Do you want to encounter angels? As angels surround God's ministers, miracles happen. Hearing that. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. That's Psalm 34:7. God has commissioned encampments of angels to surround his ministers today. That's a fact. Angels respond to the miracle anointing and declarations of faith. All right, this is one evangelist testimony. As a past breath of the Spirit's conference called Champions of God, the Holy Spirit revealed he was healing those with chronic pain. As I stood to prophesy this word of knowledge, suddenly seven rainbow-colored angels that had been standing around the perimeter of the audience flooded the altar area, producing such a forceful wind that I was blown onto one foot and fought to maintain my balance. Do you think maybe that whenever God says, do you hear the wind? Could it be the wind of his angels? Don't you feel my wind? How many times has he said that in here? And we sit here and say, is the wind blowing? Putting out our hand to see the wind there. Do you think that God was saying to us, the angels are here? And if you allow me to, I'll open up your spiritual eyes and you'll be able to see them. I don't know. That's just a question I'm throwing out to you. God's healing, delivering, dunamis power was released and many were laid out under the power of the Lord when this happened. A lady bound to her wheelchair stood and walked when God touched three discs in her back. The angels continued to give specific insights into the keys needed to release healing and those that responded to the voice of the Lord. At another conference, I asked Holy Spirit to dispatch an angelic host to minister with us and to bring the atmosphere of heaven. Maybe you need to, when you're praying, ask the angels to come. Right? A woman in the audience afflicted with scoliosis heard a violent wind blow the back doors of the church open and the footsteps of an angel walking behind her. She felt hands of fire resting on her hips. She was totally engulfed in a fragrance of celestial air and a brilliant amber light of God's golden glory. As I taught on healing in the seven spirits of God, the angel shook the woman who screamed out, "Something just grabbed and shook me." The attention of the audience was drawn to the back of the room. She excitedly announced her miraculous healing, exclaiming her hips were evenly aligned and her disfigured back was perfectly straight. The unsaved came to salvation because of this, guys. Brilliant heavenly lights, luminaries, or orbs are appearing. When the beautiful hosts are present, resurrection, life-giving, creative miracle power is released. Their presence is drawn through the creative atmosphere of preaching the word, prayer, faith, and worship. They appear through preaching the word, prayer, faith, and worship. Remember when you was having revival all the time, people said there was tongues of fire on the roof of this church. And that's how they found the church. And when they came in, they felt the wind and they felt the presence of the Almighty God. I can't want what I used to have because God said what he has for me is so much greater. But I wish God would bring the so much greater right now, today. You know, I wish that everybody in here had a sickness that the angelic host came before us and the angel would go through here and touch people. And, you know, if you really think about it, Catherine Kuhlman, she would announce she's going to have a meeting, and then the people would show up, and then she would show up, but she never did anything but stand on the stage, and people were screaming after healings, and all she did was the ushers would bring the people up, and she would say, "What happened to you?" She wasn't the one that touched them. She just held the service, and the angels show up, and the angels went through the audience, and the angels touched them. And that's what used to happen here. You know, and God wants to do this again to a church that is aligned with his word and walking in holiness and purity of heart. He wants to do that to you in your own home. You know, we used to have one miracle after another that happened in the home without church services. People would come in there to visit, and God would just tell me to go over there and touch them or do this, that, or the other, and they would be healed. So, you know, if you're a carrier of the glory of God, of the holiness and righteousness of God, God can use you any place, anywhere, anytime. But see, that's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to turn your heart. I'm tired of working for the devil, and I want to work for God. Okay, so then she goes on to say, worship was released in Bolingbrook, Illinois, and the spheres of light came to orchestrate a most spectacular heavenly light show. The vibrant circular lights danced in unison to the melodies, covering a wall with the overlapping colors of rich red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and violet, as they moved like the Ezekiel wheel within a wheel. And when the worship was finished, they flowed from the wall, forming a glorious blue cloud of mist that descended and was suspended about 2 feet above the large audience. Miracles were released, and for 2 hours, people were touched and transformed. And then as quickly as the cloud had descended upon the audience, it began to ascend and vanish through the ceiling. Why can't we have that? Why can't we have that in our automobiles? Why can't, well, maybe automobile in a good place. Why can't we have it in our home, in our backyards, in our swimming pools, wherever we're at? Why can't we have that? Because our heart is not prepared for the goodness and the mercy of the Father. We're still walking in unholiness. We still have those little sins that so easily besets us, and God can't move in that type of an atmosphere. How do we prepare ourselves to access the angelic realm? Angelic visitations are increasing in frequency on a corporate and individual level. I've been reading where they're seeing angels everywhere. So I'm thinking, Lighthouse, what is our problem? I want to see angelic visitation. I would like for two big angels to be standing outside that door and people walk by, they pull them in. Come on. Aren't you tired of just coming and just sitting here? Don't you want something more than that? Because there's so much more than that to heaven. You know, we sing a wonderful song, we have wonderful praise and worship, but then it's, it's just like somebody shut a door. And I want, like God used to, he just never quit. Be here 11, 12 o'clock at night. Well, he ministered to the people. Don't you want that?
Yes.
Don't you want something? Aren't you tired of the mundane things that we call church? Don't you want the excitement of heaven to be down here with us, working with us? And you know, this. You know, if we're going to have the greatest harvest ever, that's how it's going to happen. People are going to be drawn in because of the angelic visitations, and the anointing is going to be so strong that they'll just won't know what to do except come in. And then you're going to start seeing miracle after miracle. You know, people come in here, the anointing's strong in here. And people come in here, and like if they hadn't ever prophesied before, they'll prophesy or they'll preach or whatever. And they leave this room and go out there, and the devil's all over them all over again. Then we hear of all kind of terrible things that they're going through. But yet in here, you would think there was 100% Jesus. You should be able to carry that anointing wherever you go, just not just pick it up in here. All right? As a church is coming out of a 40-year wilderness, wondering like in Joshua chapter 5, we are called to take a knife and circumcise the flesh. In 2019, we remained hidden in the promised land as we healed. In 2020, God was removing our shame and reproach. In 2021, we learned to navigate the higher realms of the Spirit. In 2022 and 2023, our sight is being lifted into the miraculous. You young ladies are getting ready to go to college. I want to hear good reports where miracles happen wherever you walk. I mean that with all my heart. I really believe you have what you need to cause God to move in miracle-working power wherever you go. And you just be prepared when God will say, they'll tell you, he'll say, go over there and walk over that person. Just lay hands on your shoulder. And that's all you have to do. Then God takes over and God does the rest. Are you listening? One thing that happened, many things happened in my home, but one thing happened, this young lady, she wrecked her truck and was never supposed to walk again. And she walked with her legs all twisted and everything. And her and I passed in my hallway, and then God said, go back. And I went back. He said, bend down and touch her legs. I never touched her, but I bent down and put my hands like I was going to. And she started screaming, my legs, and she walks perfect today. That's what God wants to do. I didn't do the healing. I know one of the angels that lived in the house was doing the healing. Amen. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. This earth has absolutely, positively nothing for you. Absolutely nothing. But heaven has everything for you. I feel so sorry for people who keep relying on earthly things. If you start relying on heaven, you have everything you need. Absolutely everything. Because God is with you at all times. And if you have your mind set on heavenly things, the enemy's going to harass you. That's a given. He's not going to let you just sit there and just, you know, lullaby through hell but you not do anything with you. He's going to try to stop you. We need to see the commander of the Lord's army with his mighty sword drawn to discern between the thoughts and the intents of our heart. There is a company of angels stationed on top of our Jericho walls. You might not believe that, but that's the honest truth. Two nights ago, God woke me up and he said, daughter, he said, reinforce the angelic walls around your house. And so I did. He's now come inside and reinforce the angelic host that you have inside. Reinforce him. So I did. Something's going to happen and God is preparing my property and my family so they won't be touched. Are you listening? You have to be listening to the voice of God 24/7. He has to be able to, if you're sleeping, to wake you up. If you're studying, he'll start talking to you when you're studying. And you have to leave what you're doing and listen to the voice of the Father. As we learn to release God's light, consecrate the words of our mouth in thanksgiving, and walk in a new cycle of unholy ground, the angels will force the walls of opposition down, making our own paths straight. We will walk on a highway of holiness, that's in Isaiah 35, enabling us to take the city. So what are we going to be doing? Walk on a highway of what? Holiness. Holiness is where it's at. It really is. You need to quit letting your mind tell you that's not true. You need quit letting your friends, you know, well, you know the truth, but you need to quit allowing them to make you believe you don't know the truth. You must stand steadfast in every area of your life, because I'm telling you guys, whenever you see other people seeing angels and you're going to see the miracles and you're just standing there with ego on your face, you're going to really get upset with yourself. God is so good. He's so great. I can always tell that people are really trying to get out of sin because God will say to them, go tell them I love them. And I know that they don't like their self. When God's, I say, okay, that person's not liking herself. And so I go tell them God loves them, because that's what God does. He does love us. Amen. And how many of you know that, you know, God even said to me, he says, daughter, I still love you. You know, even when I got upset yesterday, I still love you. We're all going to mess up, but let's not mess up with sin in our life and, you know, really deep-rooted sin. Well, that was sin, too, by getting upset. God is completing a 7-year cycle. He is bringing spiritual perfection, purification, and consecration in order to finish the things he has been working in us. You know, I got to tell you something. Somebody really harassed me, and I got an email, and I have it on my desktop. And I was going through my desktop looking for something, and I thought, why do I have that there? And I went and deleted it, and God said, now you're free. As long as I held that email on my desktop, I was bound to that email. And I felt such a freedom, you know? So, you know, do that. You know, there's certain some things you just need to get rid of. You don't know why you're holding on to them. Get rid of them and feel the freedom. All right, how do we prepare ourselves to access the angelic realm? Psalm 100 through 109 will give us knowledge of God's mandates for our lives. Fervent prayer is a key for working the mandates of these psalms into our hearts. Angels are releasing suddenly to wake the church from its slumber. Chains of sin, hopelessness, and despair are being broken. New anointings are being given to release captives from prison. All right, who freed Peter from prison? Bunch of praying people. Peter was too dumb to know he's free. Right? Our prayers act as doorways for angels to manifest their heavenly messages in the earthly realm. Don't laugh at Peter. We're all the same way. We're too dumb to know that God has set us free, and we still let the enemy believe we're bound. That's true. Make sure you tell your loved ones that. You're free and you just don't know it. Just take that step of faith and step into your freedom. 2023 is a year to use the power gifts for evangelism. Testimony. Angels bring us warning. Several years, she's given her testimony here. Several years ago, I promised to intercede for two friends as they evangelized through the arid terrain of Pakistan. One evening, I woke to celestial air and a brilliant golden glory cloud filling my bedroom. The angelic countenances of my two friends stepped out of this heavenly atmosphere. You know, two people she knew, all right? I knew it could not possibly be them since they were on assignment in a foreign land. Yet a heavenly visitation was taking place an arm's length away. I was fearful yet excited and exhilarated at the same time. Gaining my composure, I sat up in bed. The air was electric and full of light energy, like walking into a pulsing magnetic field. I asked the angel why they had come. Their reply was direct and to the point. Your friends' lives are endangered. Contact their host and get them out of the country. Then as quickly as they had appeared, the angels vanished, stepping back into the invisible realm of the spirit. The cloud of light imploded and vanished, returning my room to the dark silence of midnight, but the electrified heavenly atmosphere remained. You know, when the angels come, you know, even though they're not there, this atmosphere of heaven stays. My early evening prayers had connected me to the realms of heaven and paved the way for the angels to deliver their warning. Upon awakening the next morning, I made the necessary phone calls to alert their host to the impending dangers. On the evening news, I witnessed a report outlining the gruesome assassination of six American journalists being machine-gunned to death in their car on the streets of Pakistan. Later, I learned what happened that fateful night. My two friends were conducting an open-air meeting in front of a multitude of people. An old, tattered car rolled to a stop, and men wielding machine guns piled out of the car and pressed their way through the crowd. However, upon receiving the warning from America, their hosts grabbed and pushed my two friends off the stage, throwing them to the ground. Rolling them under the platform, they crawled to a getaway car, waiting to whisk them to safety. It was a narrow escape, but the angels' warning the previous night had saved their lives. This generation is praying and seeking God's face like never before. His purifying fire cleanses our hands and hearts, preparing us for many angelic encounters, igniting the greatest move of God earth has ever experienced. God wants to use you the same way he used this lady to warn her friends that they were in danger. The only way he can do that is if, first of all, if he can trust you. The only way he can trust you is if you're walking in integrity and holiness and purity of heart. God needs us on the alert 24/7 so he can speak to us and tell us to warn somebody else of something that's going to happen. God is saying the angelic visitations are going to be growing. Before, he's saying it was few and far between, but now it's going to be an everyday experience for those who are truly his to experience these angelic visitations with messages from the heavenly realm. Do you want to be partaker of those who will receive the angelic visitations with messages from heaven? Is that what God is saying? Then if that is you, he's saying purify your hearts right now. Cleanse your hands and stand before me with integrity, righteousness, and holiness of heart. I need to use you. I need to use each one of you. There are not enough who are willing to stand and be a vessel that I can work through. You need to understand, saints, that like I tell God when I before this service, God, this is not my service, this is your service. I'm just a vessel that keeps the doors open. And then God, whatever you need done, gets done. Each one of you need to know that too. All you are is the vessel that God has chosen to work through. You weren't called to be exalted. You weren't called to never walk in sorrow. You were never called to walk in a rose garden. You were called to be a warrior in God's army and to fight the enemy and win. And we can win many, many battles if we just understand the angelic host and what they're here for. I remember one time when the devil told me he was going to kill me, and I said, no, you can't kill me. And he said, I know I can't, because he said, you have warriors standing around about you, keeping me at bay. In other words, there was angels around about me. And no matter what how he tried to kill me, which had been many ways, he could not. The same goes with you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were to the place where God could use you as a vessel of honor, where there be angels around about you, and no matter who you came in contact with, they would not be hurt because of the angels that were not only protecting you, but would protect them too. And God said, you have family members that are in danger even right now. And as you call upon the angelic host, they will come and they will keep them safe. Like, you know, I have two family members, and God said, you know, it isn't over yet, but there's not going to be any casualties, because I kept praying, God, please don't let them die. And he said, and then finally he said, it isn't over yet, but there won't be any casualties. So I know they're still messed up, but at least they're not going to die, you know. And why aren't they going to die? Because I constantly send the angels with them. Even in the house, I'll say, God, I don't know where they're at in the house, but I send an angel to protect them wherever they're at in the house. We need to start using the angels like never before. And I'm hearing God say, as you use them, then you'll see them. Faith first, and then sight second. And there's some of you in here, you really and truly want to be vessels that the angels can work through. And if you're one of those that you just want angelic visitation, not just so you can say you saw an angel, but so they can come and they can warn you of trouble that's around about you, your family, or the world, whatever, then God said, if you come up, he said, he's going to open up your spiritual eyes to see into the spiritual realm, and you will start having angelic visitations. So the altar's open for that this morning.